I know y'all all know me. If not from church, you know me from the post office. Come on. Come on. Do I need to go in my post office mode? Come on. Come on. I need a smile. But it's so good to see you all this evening. We're in week three of Grow Track. Week four. We're going forward, not backwards. Okay. Like I say, we're excited to see everybody this evening. And I just want to say this, too, because today, after I had gotten out from work and I was driving, and I was just thanking God, you know, for the day. But I'm really grateful for Timber Creek. And let us never take what God is doing here for granted. Because I've been in church for 21 years, faithfully. I've visited a lot of churches. But God is doing something real special here at Timber Creek. And it's not so much that God loves Timber Creek more, but it's because of the obedience and the surrender of the people. And let's just thank God for our leadership. I mean, yeah, we are truly blessed. That wasn't planned, but I'm grateful for what God is doing. Did everybody get signed in? Okay, come on. Do y'all need to stand up and, all righty. Okay, everybody got signed in? Do everybody have their Bibles and their notebooks? Everybody have your notes? And also want to say that if you have missed a week, we have notes back there at the table, and you can also go online, and we really encourage you to go online and listen to the lesson and do your fill in the blanks. Okay, did anybody memorize their scripture verse for the week?
I did. Jesus
wept. Yes, but unfortunately that wasn't in our Bible reading plan, but it didn't say it had to be in that. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Anybody else have a scripture? Did anything jump out to anybody? Okay.
So in reading with Ruth and Samuel, really Ruth, I was interested to go back, especially knowing what this lesson is going to be about death to self, and really thinking, and what jumped out at me was how Ruth was with her dedication to Naomi and to the fact that the beginning when Naomi was telling the girl, her and Orpah, you go back, and she refused to do that. And basically, she humbled herself and throughout the whole book, and she basically just submitted herself, you know. And for us, that really stood out to me as Christ followers. We're supposed to, it actually reveals a characteristic of God that we're supposed to follow, selflessness, because she was very selfless. And so as Christ followers, we do that. We need to be selfless, and we put God first above ourselves. I mean, God gave his best and his first to us. He's very selfless. And Christ is very selfless. He gave his all. He gave everything for us. So as Christ followers, that really resonated with reading Ruth.
That's awesome.
All right, so James.
That's awesome. Yes.
I'm ahead again.
He's actually ahead, but what he has said, I mean, that's awesome though, you know, because Ruth went to a land that she had never been to. She went to a land she didn't know anybody, and that was a destiny decision, because she could have easily done like Oprah. But she chose to follow Naomi. And that says something about our lifestyle, the influence she had.
I got a big enough mouth. What stood out to me, I think, a lot this week was Exodus 12.
It's so true. That is so true. That's awesome. And you guys continue to spend time in studying the Word, but more importantly, love the God of the Word, you know, because knowledge alone is not enough. Make sure you're having fresh encounters with Jesus daily, spending time in the Word daily, being, you know, filled with the Spirit daily. And, you know, I mean, it's amazing. I want to mention this, and we're going to pray. Pastor Stephen had let us know about Amanda Chavez, their life flight in her to Houston. She's having some complications, you know, with the baby. And Jeremy's driving down there. So we want to just keep them lifted up in prayer. We know that we serve a God that's able to do anything but fail. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, even in our study, it was talking about he's El Shaddai. He's the, you know, Almighty God. So let's just go ahead and lift them up in prayer now and just pray over the lesson tonight. God, we come, Lord, with grateful hearts. We come, God, realizing that, God, without you, we can do nothing. We thank you, O God, that you're with us. We thank you, O God, that you're for us. And, God, we thank you that you're a God that never changes. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even in the biblical days, they saw you, the Jewish people saw you as Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. But you're also Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. And then you are Jehovah Shammah. You're the Lord and you're there. And so, God, we pray for Jeremy right now. We pray, oh God, that you would watch over him as he's on the road traveling. We pray, oh God, that you would give him traveling grace. We pray, oh God, that you would give him a peace of mind. May he know that you're not only with him, but you're there with his wife, if even in the air you're with her. And then, God, we pray for Amanda and that precious baby, oh God. We pray, oh God, that you would anoint her womb, oh God, to continue to carry this baby. We pray, oh God, that that baby's lungs is still developing. But, God, we pray, God, that you would also give the doctors wisdom, that there would be no error in diagnose, that they would see what they need to see. But, God, we pray, God, that you would show up supernaturally and, God, perform a miracle. Yes, God, perform a miracle not just for Jeremy and Amanda, but, God, for those who may not know you, and they'll be able to testify that you did this. This was the Lord's doing. God, do what only you can do. And then, God, equip men to do what only they can do. God, we pray that you would bless this night. We pray, oh, God, that every student would come, God, with hearts open to receive the planting of your word. We pray, oh, God, that your word will fall on good ground tonight, God, and it will bring forth an abundant harvest. And, God, I thank you again for Timber Creek. I thank you, oh, God, for the leadership here. I thank you, God, that these leaders have a heart for your people, God. They're seeking your heart. And, God, we are seeing the fruit of it, even as your children are sharing, God, verses of scripture tonight. God, we are eternally grateful, God. Again, have your way in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, let's turn it over to Pastor Stephen.
All right, guys, how we doing? All right, yeah, just continue to keep the Charvos in your prayers. It's really, their little baby boy, she's 31 weeks, so it's still really early, and the baby's heart rate is what they were concerned about. Could be an AFib situation where it was going up, it was going down, just a lot of abnormalities there they were seeing today. She went in for just a checkup this morning, and actually when they got there, Jeremy texted me and said, hey, everything's going really well, and you know, and they're happy with the way things are going. And literally about half an hour later, he texts me back, and he's like, things have completely changed while she was there. So just, you know, I know they're worried and concerned. They wanted to get her to Houston, get her to Texas Children's, you know, to possibly do a C-section tonight if needed, right? So we're just going to pray that the doctors can figure some things out to hold that baby off for a little bit longer, you know, for a few more weeks. It'd be great to be about 35, 36 weeks, as you know. So just continue to pray for those guys. And Jeremy was on his way. I talked to him about 6 o'clock, 6:15, and he's in good spirits. He's doing all right. I know he wants to be on that helicopter. I said, man, I know exactly how you feel, man. You know, when Landon was on that helicopter and we had to drive, that's a frustrating thing, but you know, just praying for good weather for him and no traffic. So just continue to pray for them. Well, guys, so glad that you're here. So glad that Jolene, that you mentioned what you did. What a great reminder. Like, let's not forget to thank the Lord for what's happening here at Timber Creek. Just excited to be a part of what God's doing. You know, for, man, it seems like 6 to 8 weeks we have averaged. We always average in the numbers from the Die Ball prison on Wednesday nights. So tonight they'll have an attendance again. They've been running anywhere from 180 to 200 guys, which is awesome, you know, each week. And we've been hitting 1,800 to 2,000 for a few weeks now. It's pretty wild, you know. A year ago right now, we were like 1,400 people, which is still amazing. But you just see that kind of growth with what's happened. And just excited about what God's doing, that we get to be a part of it, right? All of us, you know, not just the staff. And we feel your prayers. We feel your guys' dedication to prayer and to being here and serving. I look around the room, all of you guys serve in probably 3, 4, or 5 different areas, it seems like, for some of you guys. But we love you, and thank you for being a part of what God's doing here. And so glad that you're in Grow Track 3. And I just, again, I can't get over every week we come in here and just to hear you guys share the scriptures that you're reading. And not just share the scripture, like you're breaking it apart, which is cool. I mean, it's just neat to see how God's speaking to you guys as you read the scriptures and what God's doing in your heart and your life. And so, are we ready for tonight? Are we ready for death to self? I mean, come on, let's get excited, right? And last week was death to pride. Tonight's death to self. Next week will be death to sin. There's a pattern there, death, right? And I was telling the team here right before we started in class tonight that, you know, this is strategic what we're doing. We are talking about some subjects that lead us to this idea of surrender, okay? That we have to put some things to death to have true surrender to God. And the reason we're doing that is because next month in October, we're gonna put something in your hands called the Live Dead Journal. And that's just going to prepare your heart. Yeah, it's going to prepare your heart and your mind to read that and walk alongside that. It's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. And I'm just excited about it. So, you know, these 3 weeks, again, of this teaching, they're necessary deaths that every Christ follower must die in order to truly live a life of complete surrender. Surrender and obedience, you're reading that in these passages of these individuals that you're reading in your weekly reading. This right in the middle of this little portion of Grow Track 3 that's so important. And, you know, as we jump into the Live Dead Challenge next month, which involves fasting, which involves tithing of your time, of your daily time, in order to fully surrender to the Lord and His perfect will. That's not easy. So God's preparing us, right, for that. So I told you we're going to step up in Grow 3, and God's doing it, man. He's putting some stuff in our hearts and our lives to stretch us quite a bit. But tonight, let me start off by saying that we're going to look at the life of Jesus quite a bit tonight. You know, for the first 30 years of Jesus' life, right, Jesus pretty much, for the most part, lived hidden. He lived hidden where he grew in wisdom, and he grew in stature. And when he comes onto the scene, his ministry just explodes, right? I mean, it just comes in and it explodes and it takes off. In one moment at what? A wedding party, right? He's just there dancing to the music. No, not really. He's there just hanging out, right? And they run out of wine. And his mom throws him into the mix of things, right? And I just love that part of that story, where you can just picture the scene where he looks at mom and he's like, woman, which he shouldn't have done in the first place, right? You ever said woman to your mom? Shouldn't do that. And says, it's not my time yet, right? And I can just see her looking at him, giving him this look, and then looking at the guys and saying, do whatever he tells you to do here in a minute, right? Can you picture that scene? Those of you that are moms, you've probably done that with your kids, right? But in that moment, right, at that wedding party, he goes from Jesus, the son of Joseph, a carpenter, right, to Jesus, the miracle worker, who turned water into wine in that moment. And everything changed. From that moment on, Jesus' life went from kind of quiet and hidden to powerful and famous from that point on, for the next 3 years, right? His fame spread and his ministry grew. But the thing is, guys, Jesus' life mission was never to become popular. That wasn't his mission. He wasn't after popularity. His goal was never to simply to wow people and grow a great, large ministry. That's not what it was about. His mission, given by his heavenly Father, right, was to reach the pinnacle of success and be, it was not to be the pinnacle of great success and not to be on the front cover of Time magazine, which he's been many times, right? It's not what it was about. His life mission was not simply to live. What was his life mission to do? To die, right? I mean, when we stop and think about that, we know that, but when you stop and think about that, his life mission, those 33 years or so, all led up to die a horrendous, torturous death, right? And he did for you and for me. And this is in your notes here. The success, right? Yes, I'm sorry. Oh, wow. Huh. Well, let's just stop and pray right now. That's over at the Student Center. And let's just pray. God, we just saw this ambulance pull up. God, we don't know exactly what the story is, what's going on. But I just pray that if it's a student, whether it's a youth leader, whoever it may be, God, we just pray that you would place a hedge of angels around them. God, that this would not be a serious injury or whatever's going on. God, I pray that you would touch whoever this is and just be with them, God. Use the ambulance, the paramedics, Lord God, that are involved in this situation. Lord God, I just pray that you would touch them. God, if it's a child, if it's a student, God, we pray for protection in their body. God, if it's a leader, God, we pray that you would protect them, that you would be with them, Jesus. God, bring a healing touch to their body in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jolene, for noticing that. I didn't see that. The success. This is in your notes. The success of Jesus' mission depended on his willingness to surrender and die. Right? It wasn't on all any other factors. It was the success of his mission wasn't success in everybody else's eyes and the world's eyes, right? And what the world thinks is successful, right? It depended on his willingness to surrender, totally surrender to his Father's plans and to die, right? To die. And what does this tell us, okay? This tells us this, guys. His darkest hour, his most painful, the hour when he was most abandoned, and tortured, and by himself, the pain that he went through, his darkest hour is our greatest comfort. Isn't that amazing? You know, he did that for us. It is our greatest comfort. He walked the hardest, most difficult path, and I'm thankful that he truly does. He understands pain. Guys, he understands your struggle. If you're struggling right now, he understands it. He understands the hurt that you're carrying or that you've been through, right? He understands the abandonment that you have felt or that you are feeling. He understands the suffering. He understands all of that. You know, I think we make a mistake. I don't know about in this room. You guys probably understand the ramifications of this, but some people forget. I think sometimes we can make a mistake when we think that Jesus' mission was easy for him. I think some people think that, and I don't know why, but they do. They think it was easy because He is the Son of God, right? And that maybe it was somewhat easy for him to fulfill what he did and the way he died and what he went through. Yes, he was God. He is God. But he was also human flesh. He also was fully human, right? Skin and bones and blood. And he felt every lash. He felt the weight of the cross. He felt every inch of that painful experience. He felt every bit of it. He was fully God and fully man, which is why the Bible says, again, this is just so important, that we have a great high priest who can emphasize with our weaknesses. Right? In Hebrews chapter 4. I'm so thankful for that, right? So he knew his mission. He knew his mission. He loved God, and he loved all of us. But the idea of suffering and dying was still something Scripture reveals that he wrestled with at times. Have you seen that in the Scriptures? I mean, he was 100% God, 100% man, but he struggled with this. He agonized. He felt the emotions. Any of you worry? Any of you get filled with anxiety? I'll raise my hand. Absolutely, I do, right? He felt some of that, right? It reveals that he wrestled with it at times. And so as he is ministering and he's sharing the truths of the Father to this external world, he internally, right, was counting the cost of what it was going to cost him and what he was going to have to go through. And choosing to continue to surrender, knowing the cost, knowing what he was going to experience, it takes to accomplish this mission here on earth. He knew that, and yet he still did it, but he was wrestling with it. And Jesus himself walks through a process, okay? Everybody say process, right? Because that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit tonight. He walks through a process of sorts that keeps him surrendered and it enabled him to die, right? Okay? And so, in fact, I believe that God, right, has a process for all of you. All of us have a process, too, that we have to go through. It's a process to get us from where we are to where he wants, he's calling us to go. Right? From where we are, because he's not done with you guys. He's not done with us. He wants to take you further. He wants to do more in our lives. From who we were and right to who he's created us to be. He's not done with us yet, and I'm so thankful for that. So if Jesus, right, the Son of the living God, had to walk through a process that enabled and empowered him to fulfill his mission, so we, all of us in this room tonight, and as imperfect as we are, we also have to go through a process, okay? And that's what the deaths that we're talking about last week, tonight, next week, this is part of that process. We will be led out of our comfort zones. Yay! Everybody excited about that? Yay! We will be led out of our comfort zones and out of habits that hold us back, so that we too can move forward and experience the abundant life that Jesus died for us to have, to give us, right? Okay. And I just wanted to say right there too, thank you guys for signing up for KidWorks to serve one time this semester. Really great. 16 of you in this room alone. He's going to announce it to Grow Track 1 and 2 tonight too. So even just from our class, like he had enough to fulfill Kid Works. You know, they need to help early childhood with my wife too. But so thank you for that. David and Sally Mocker, they couldn't be here tonight because they're serving. So they'll be back next week. They got the notes. David also pulled me aside and he said, make sure all of you, if you see her, to wish her a happy birthday. He was kind of bummed about that. He wanted to embarrass her in front of all of you guys tonight for her birthday. So that's right. They're serving. So that's awesome. But in order to follow God and become more like Jesus, we have got to learn the key ingredients to live in a Christ-centered life. And so what I want to do here real quick, looking at Jesus, right, is I want to talk through the five deaths of Jesus. Okay, we're going to walk through these. They're in your notes, okay? Got the first two right there. These deaths, okay, as we get started, were necessary. They were necessary for the successful completion of his ultimate mission. And his ultimate mission was what? It was to what? To suffer and to die, right? To suffer and to die for the sins of you and I in this room, for all of mankind. And they prepared him for what was to come, okay? They prepared him for that moment, okay? The first death is this. It's a death to flesh. What is this about? Well, you see in Matthew chapter 14, you see this moment where Jesus is led by his heavenly Father, led by God to go out into the wilderness by himself. And he goes out there for 40 days, 40 nights, and he's tempted. He experiences, he fasts, he separates himself completely from the world, from everything. No Facebook, no TV, no college football, no ribeye steak, no Dr. Pepper. You know, all of it, right? He's separated from all of it. I just named a lot of my first love. I apologize. I really did. Dr. Pepper steak, college football. But he's separated from all of that, right? And he's tempted. I mean, Satan comes, and I said this in Starting Point on Sunday morning. You know, Satan is pretty dumb, but he's crafty. He's really crafty. He's sneaky. He's crafty. And he comes to Jesus, and he tries to be crafty, right? And he tempts him with different ways. He tries to tempt him to turn, what, the rocks into bread, because he knows this guy, he might be God, but he's also fully man, and this brother's hungry, right? And he tries to tempt him with that. He tries to tempt him with offering him everything, if you'll worship me, right? And so he tries to lay that all down and say, look, I'll give it to you all. I'll give you everything and let you be successful in the world's eyes, in a sense, and have everything you want if you'll just worship me. But, yeah. I hope so. It's not. I did that to make sure y'all were paying attention. Good job. Matthew 4, I'm sorry. That's a typo on my part. That's awesome. Thank you for doing that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I put it in my notes as 14. Yeah. Good job. You passed the test. Yep, there it is. Jesus is tested in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4. Man, you guys are awesome. Y'all are on it. So, but it says in verse 1, right? Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And so he has to experience this death of his flesh, right? His fleshly desires in the things of his life, right? So that was one of the deaths that Jesus had to experience to prepare him for the other ultimate death that he would face, right? Number two, death to friends, right? You even see in the scriptures there, in the Gospels, where Jesus, take Peter, for example, he rebukes Peter, poor Peter, right? One of his closest buddies, right? And Peter just did not know when to stop talking and control his emotions. And in Matthew chapter 16, I think it's 16, you might want to look it up, make sure I'm right. Verses 22 through 23, Peter took Jesus aside, and began to rebuke him, right? You're like, Peter, come on, man. And never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned to him and said, get behind me, Satan. If there was ever a big rebuke, poor Peter, man, he got rebuked. He got roughed up. He says, you're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And hone in on that for a minute. You're a stumbling block to me. You know, he knew in order to fulfill the mission that God had called him to, there might be friendships, there might be relationships that may be a stumbling block to keep him from what God called him to do. So hold on to that for a minute. Keep that in the back of your mind, right? So there had to be a death to even his friends, okay? That's the second one. The third one is this, death to fears, right? And like we said a little while ago, even though he's 100% God, he's also 100% human, he had to wrestle with the emotions. He had to wrestle with what was ahead of him and all that kind of stuff going on, right? So death to fears. Jesus' fear of what he was about to face is revealed in different places. But man, probably the biggest place is in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? At the end of Matthew chapter 26, we find this. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Wait, what, Jesus did? Yeah, he did. He began to be sorrowful and troubled, right? And then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me, right? So even though he's God, he's also fully man, and he's got some fear. He's got some emotions of anxiety, of worry, of doubt, right, that he's wrestling with here. So there had to be a death. He had to put to death those fears and those worries, right? That one probably sticks out to me more than anything, for me personally, right? The fourth one is free will. There was a death to free will. Jesus' prayer to the Father in that garden of Gethsemane reveals his choice to die to his will, right? Luke 22:42-44, it says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, right? So this one last kind of ditch effort by Jesus, like, I know this is your mission, but, you know, this is going to be pretty painful. So God, if there's any other way, would you take this cup from me? But then he goes on to say, right? He says, yet not my will, but yours be done. That shows you that he was willing to put to death his own will, right? His own free will, and take on the will of the Father, even if it cost him what it was about to cost him. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. I love that, right? That God sends us strength. He gives us strength in those moments. He did that for Jesus. He does it for us. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and he sweat And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. That's some stress. That's some stress. I don't know if you've ever done that. I haven't. I've not been that stressed. But man, can you imagine that you're that stressed and filled with that type of anxiety that you're sweating drops of blood? The fifth and final one, of course, is the death. It is death on the cross, the physical death that he went through. But all those other four help lead him to this final death. He had to die those other deaths in order to die physically on the cross, right? We see this. You know, Jesus called out with a loud voice in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he said this, he breathed his last breath. So he literally, the fifth one, he dies literally physically on the cross. So these moments, guys, of death were preceded by his willingness to surrender, right? It's super important for us to remember. These moments of death that he went through, they were preceded by his willingness to surrender. In order for him to die to these areas, it had to happen for him to be completely and fully surrendered to God, to his plan, to his will for his life. And we must understand that to follow Jesus, guys, it means to surrender to him, to surrender like him. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to die on a cross. Now, are there martyrs today? Absolutely, right? You know, but we're pretty blessed to live in America. I know things don't look great all the time around here either sometimes, but we're still very, very blessed, right, to be here. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and as Americans, can I just say we forget this concept. You know, I think of Dick Brogdon, this guy, and he's a missionary, and he spoke to the idea that as moms and dads, we're so willing to send our children to battle and war, but yet we're unwilling to send them to the mission field to risk their lives, you know, and we, as Americans, we struggle with this, you know, but these other deaths as well, right? I mean, that's a reality to us. It just is, right? Especially in the final days, but death to flesh, death to friends, death to fears, death to free will, right? We have to surrender like him, okay? To live as he lived and to die to what hinders us from successfully accomplishing our mission. That is so important. I love this quote by Martin Luther. He said this. He says, "Until a man is nothing, God can make nothing out of him." That's a pretty powerful quote. And I hope that I'm getting closer to nothing, that God can use me fully unto what he wants to do in my life. And that's my goal for you guys, right? Well, that until a man is nothing, that's not a fun process sometimes, but it's the process that we're talking about tonight. Death to self is hard, okay? This is not easy. This is hard. Death to what others say is difficult. It's hard. Death to what terrifies us is hard, right? Death to what we want and how we want it is sometimes harder than any of it. Did y'all hear that, right? That's even the harder, that's probably the hardest one, right? It is to what we want and how we want it sometimes. Jeremy Sharvo's not here, but I want to share this. I asked him if I could share it. I was going to have him share it tonight, but he's not here. But just recently, you know, God's done a great work in him since he began Grow Track 1 with you guys a year ago. I mean, he just really changed. I mean, God's gotten a hold of him, and he really feels a calling to teach, and we're working with him and just want to see that happen. Him and Amanda are going to go over to Nacogdoches and be a part of the Nacogdoches launch. And about a year ago, I think he explains it. He could explain it better than me. He applied to be a captain, I believe, with the police department. You know, he's a police officer here. And things just didn't work out. He didn't get the job. And since then, all this growth has happened in his life. I mean, just a real big change in his life. And along the way, he really has submitted to the Lord and some of these desires in his heart to be used by God and just serve this church and serve in different ways. And one of the ways was to go to Nacogdoches. Him and Amanda, they want to work with Pastor Dan and Laura. And he knew that, you know, in his position, that would work out, that he could give his Sundays and do that because he doesn't work on Sundays. Well, right after he made that decision, this one guy, the chief comes up to him and says, "Hey, you need to fill out that application for the captain position again. It just came open, and I want you to be the guy." And so he was faced with this decision. Oh, wow. He could have said, thank you, Lord, for providing. But he knew if he took that position, he would have to work on Sundays, which means he would not be able to fulfill the commitment that he's made to God to serve here on Sundays and serve in NAC. And he said, I'm not going to do it. And he sacrificed that opportunity to make more money to provide for his family. Now, was that a good thing, that offer to take that position? Of course it was, right? Right? It's not that that was a bad thing for him to do, but he just knew that God had called him to stay committed to being involved in Nacogdoches. And I just think that's a beautiful example of exactly what we're talking about. Death to what we want and how we want it is sometimes the hardest death that we have to die in order to be fully surrendered to God. You know, I look at Sandy, didn't ask permission for this, I'm going to do it anyway. You know, just recently you've gone to part-time so that you can spend more time with your children. That was a sacrifice, but a commitment that she has made, and I believe God is honoring that and will honor that. I mean, that's not easy, you know? And I commend you for that, right? It's those kinds of things, right? Those are examples. And I'm sure some of you could share in the room tonight how God has challenged you in that, right? Let's go on to the next thing here. You know, there was a motivation for Jesus to finish his mission, right? It was a big mission. It was the mission, right? And we're all grateful for that mission. But there was some motivation there. As hard as it was for Jesus to suffer and die, there were several key motivators that enabled him to stay the course, right, and finish the mission that his Father had given him. Number one is his love for the Father, right? His love for the Father. He loves his Father, the Heavenly Father, God. And he knew that this mission was from God, that God had an ultimate plan to use him. And he trusted his Father, you know, to leave the right hand of the Father, to leave heaven, come to earth, be born as a baby in a stinky old barn, and spend all those years leading to a horrible, torturous death for you and I, right? But he loved his Father enough that he was okay with that, and he said, I'm gonna go through that. I'm going to go through with this mission. Let it be said of us too, guys, that we're that in love with our Heavenly Father, that no matter what the mission cost us, we're willing to fulfill it because we love our Heavenly Father. Number two, his love for all of us, right? The example of humility, the example of sacrifice, right? We can sacrifice, we can be humble, but nothing compares to his example. Why? Because he loved us. He loves us still, right? And we're all here today because of him and what he did for us, right? Number three, his view and knowledge of his resurrection. He knew the end game. You know, he knew that there would be a resurrection, but first had to come the death. There had to be a death first before there could be a resurrection. And guys, I know that, you know, I know that this world seems nuts. I know that there's a lot. If you stay on Facebook and you on social media, if you turn on the TV, if you listen to your neighbors and coworkers too much, there's a lot to be concerned about. There's a lot to, you could fill your mind with just a lot of concern and things that are happening in today's world. But let us not forget, because of his death, we win. He won. You know, we know the end of the story. Now we have to walk through this life and experience pain and experience grief in some ways and stuff, but we know the end because there was a resurrection. There was a victory because there was a death. Thank you to Jesus, right? And so these things motivated him to finish that mission, okay? Though deaths are painful, I think this is in your notes too, though deaths are painful, resurrections make everything worth it, right? Resurrections make everything worth it, right? And here's some benefits of Christ's resurrection, okay? There's some extreme benefits. Number one, eternal life. Hello, that's the biggest one. I'm so thankful for that. Eternal life for those who believe in Jesus and what he has done for us, right? Most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We have everlasting, eternal life because of Jesus. What a benefit. The benefits of all benefits. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came, this is Jesus speaking, I came that they may have life and enjoy life, have it to an abundance. He wants us to have life in abundance, and we can in him because of that eternal life, that benefit. Number two, the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us as believers. I am so thankful for that. Because Jesus finished his mission, and then he was resurrected, and then he was later went back home, back to heaven, right? Went back to the right hand of the Father, right? It gave us the Holy Spirit. And we now have the Holy Spirit in our lives as a comfort, as a counselor, as a friend, all because Jesus fulfilled his mission, right? So thankful for that benefit. John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage, right, that I go away, Jesus told them before he left for heaven. It's to your advantage. Why? But Jesus, you're leaving us, right? You've been everything to us. How are we going to operate without you? It's okay. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. I'm sending you a helper. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, and the helper is who? The Holy Spirit, right? He would not come, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Acts 1:8, why do we have the Holy Spirit? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. All right? So thankful for that benefit. Number three, closeness with God is restored. Right? What a benefit we have there, right? Jesus knew something that we all must come to know and understand, and it's right there. Your surrender leads to your death, but your death leads to your resurrection. Now, you may not physically die on a cross, but there are some deaths that need to happen. For some of us in the room, they may not have happened yet, right? But those deaths have to happen for there to be this resurrection, for us to fulfill the destiny, the mission that God has for us, right? So important for us to see that. In fact, without a death, there is no resurrection. We got to remember that. That's so important. John 12:24, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains, right, by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. There must be these deaths so that there can be a resurrection even in our life. Let me go through a list of some things here. I don't know if these are in your notes or not. But we tend to want the resurrection, right? That's exciting. That's a great thing. But we tend to want the resurrection without the death. Yeah, Dan. Yeah. It is worth it. Absolutely. But, you know, so many times, I'll say it again, we as people, we want a resurrection. We love that part of it. But we want it without the death. And listen to these things. We want the results and the rewards, right, without the process and the journey. And guys, the process, you've got to embrace the process. I was at Encounter on Sunday night, and I got the chance to pray with this young guy, and I just told him, you know, he was roughed up Sunday night after it was over, and he just really opened up, and God's really doing a work in his heart. But I'm like, man, this is okay. You just need to embrace this process, right? And we need to embrace the process, right, of death and the journey that God's taken us on. It's difficult. It's hard at times. But God knows what he's doing, and we got to trust him through that process. We want the new before letting go of the old, right? We want that so many times. We want the new life of freedom and power. That sounds good, right? But we want it without surrender. That's not how Jesus works, right? You don't just get handed, you know, power and freedom and certain things. You gotta surrender. You know, it's. I stand in here in this room every second week of the month with Starting Point, and I tell those guys that, hey, everybody wants a Savior. Everybody wants that, but not everybody wants a Lord. And when you claim him as Lord, that means there's this complete submission and surrender to him, and you got to let go. And through that surrender, then comes power, his power that he uses through you as he uses you, bringing all glory and attention to him, not to ourselves, right? We want healed marriages and friendships without dying to our selfishness and our pride. I sit in my office week after week with couples, hurting couples so many times. And, man, they just want everything fixed without dying to their selfishness and their pride. We want peace and joy, but refuse to die to worry and fear. I sat on that one for a while when I was working on this. I mean, that just, you know, because Because I do. I'm just transparent with you guys. I worry. I get fearful about things. And so many times I want the peace and the joy, but refuse to just say, no, I'm not gonna be fearful about that anymore. I'm not going to worry about that anymore because God tells me not to. He's proven himself time and time again that he's provider and that he's faithful. Yeah, it's very true. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's so true. Yeah, it's good, man. That's good. We want a resurrection of our finances without dying to overspending. You know, that one kind of punches us in the gut a little bit. We want the blessings and benefits of living in God's will, but refuse to die to our own plans and our own desires, right? The big question is this tonight, guys, as we get closer to the end. What's alive in you that must die? In Grow Track 3, you've got to begin to wrestle with that. You got to begin to answer that. What's alive in you that must die? Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, and this is the verse for Grow Track 3. It really is. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Don't just read that and skip past it. That's a big verse. We got to be willing to wrestle with that and accept that. If we want a resurrection like Jesus, we must die to, let's go back through this, same death that Jesus went through. We've got to die to our flesh. As you die to your flesh, resurrection life will come to your spirit, right? That's so important. So I want to ask you guys, I want to give you a chance to just share. What are some examples of dying to our flesh? What are some things that we need to die to through our flesh? Physical habits, right? Anything else? I had to get my sleep. Right. Yeah. That's true, though. You know, I mean, it really is. I mean, yeah, fleshly desires. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. My rights. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's a big one. My rights. We have to die to that. The second thing is to die to our friends. This is big. As you die and let go of toxic, unhealthy relationships, resurrection life will breathe into new ones. Is this easy? Is this just our friends, or does this also involve family? Hello. Co-workers? Absolutely, man. This is huge. Yeah, jobs. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You had to say no to a job. Yeah. Because of the relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's huge. I mean, not a lot of people would do that. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I mean. That's great. That's a great example of what this just said. I mean. And this is not easy. This is hard, especially within family dynamics and stuff. You know, I've got family that I've just had to put boundaries around my family and my kids that they're not going to be around that, you know, because I care about and love them too much, you know. I love those individuals very much, and I still keep that open line of communication open. I will always do that. But I had to set boundaries because it was toxic. And I love my kids too much.
I think the hardest thing for me has been because I lost my mom. And so
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough. It's tough, but it's what we need. Number three, our fears. We have to die to our fears. As you die to fears and anxieties that overwhelm you, resurrection life will come to your soul in the form of God's peace and joy. And I need that. You need that. We all need that. Amen? Amen. Number four, our free will. As you and I, we die to our will, to our agenda, Resurrection life will come and place you in the center of God's will for you. And that's not easy. That's not easy. Here's a couple things that happen after we die to those things and we experience those deaths. What's on the other side of the death? There's a resurrection, right? There's a resurrection. And what resurrection are you waiting for? You don't have to answer that out loud, but it's something to think about, right? What resurrection are you waiting for? And there's a resurrection beyond your cross. But in order to experience the new life and joy it brings, you must first surrender and be willing to die. Let me read this verse, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 11. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. If you pray this verse, be careful. You know? I mean, if you're gonna read it and say, I want that, and you're going to pray it, be ready. You know, I want to share. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. And that's what this is talking about, dying to our fears, dying to our free will, dying to friendships that we've had maybe for many years. And let me kind of close it down with this, and then we'll go into kind of our questions tonight. But the cross, guys, going back to the cross, we've been talking a lot about Jesus and the cross. And we'll get to those on the screen here in a minute. But the cross represents the death of all my plans, right? The cross represents the death of all my own ideas, my own desires, my hopes and dreams. And it's most of all the absolute death of my own will. And this is true humility like we talked about last week. You know, we talked about humility with pride. But humility still comes into play tonight because the cross represents the death of all those things that I want. That's true humility. And here's where many of us miss it as Christians, okay? We set our hearts on something that we want, something that looks good, right? Something that sounds logical. You ever had that before? But it's not God's will. And it may not even be a bad thing, you know? It's like Jeremy Charvo. It wasn't a bad thing that he, I mean, he should be, you know, commended for the fact that the chief looked at him and saw him as a quality guy to be a captain. So it's not a bad thing. But he just knew God's will right now is for him to say no to that, even though it cost him a few things, right? We set our hearts on something that we want, something that looks good, that sounds logical, but that's not God's will. And one of the biggest traps that Christians fall into is a good idea, which is really not God's mind. It looks like a good idea, but it's not really God's mind. It's a good strategy, but it's not his strategy for our life. A well-conceived plan, but it's not really his plan, right? It might be the right thing at the wrong time, right? A lot of times it's that, you know? The question is, can your desire survive the cross, you know? And are you willing to let go of it if that desire of your heart at the moment or that season of your life or whatever it might be isn't going to survive the cross? Because at the end of the day, it's worth letting that die to keep following him, keep trusting him in that season of your life, keep trusting him in that job, you know, or letting go of that job or trusting him in this situation, you know, whatever it might be, right? The question is, can your desire survive the cross? It's when you and I go down into the grave of death to self, all ambition, all self-will, that we hear his voice. And man, that kind of just wraps up what we're talking about tonight, right? And so what I want you to do, we're going to turn on the worship music. Go ahead, Tommy. And you've got some questions there. And I want you to go ahead and kind of work through all three questions for a little bit. I'm going to give you some time to do that at your seat. And then we're going to come back and we're going to pray together and pray for each other for what we've talked about tonight, okay? So let's go ahead and do that for a few minutes. All right, guys, what I want to do right now, if you're not done with those questions, I just encourage you, as we do every week, to come back and revisit these, look through those questions again throughout the week, okay, as you kind of revisit what we talked about tonight. What I want to do now is I want you to go ahead and stand at your table. Just go ahead and leave everything there at the table. And we're going to close in prayer, but I thought it would just be neat for us to, and I'm going to ask Jolene, if you want to combine, you and Rayla, if y'all just want to come over to this table and kind of join each other. I want to pray for each other tonight, too. Not only pray and ask God to help us die to self, this is not easy, and we need each other. And so I'm asking that you guys to just kind of huddle up, if you don't mind, and put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, if you can. And as we pray for the person next to you as well. You may not know what it is, but it may be fear. It may be, for some of you, you've got friendships in mind right now. You've got family relationships that you're like, you know what, I've been fighting this for years. But you realize you got to kind of put that to death. Now, yeah, keep the line of communication open, but you've realized tonight, you know what, I gotta put that to death, because it holds me back from all that God has for me. And I got to put some serious boundaries there, you know, and that's hard. Right? Maybe it's your free will. Maybe it's you've just had your mindset on a certain ambition, and it's not a bad thing. You got a plan. You're like, man, I've had this all planned out. This is what I was going to do, and I felt like it was the right thing, but now I feel like that's what I want to do, but I need to step back and say, you know what, God, maybe I need to put that to death right now, at least maybe even just for this season of my life, and go after what you want. I'm willing to let that go. I'm willing to let that promotion go. I'm willing to let that plan go. I'm willing to let my dream of this or that go, so that I can take a hold of what you have and what you want. Those are not easy things, guys. And so let us represent being there for each other tonight as we pray. So as I pray for you, will you just pray for the person on your right, the person on your left tonight, as I pray for you? Sound good? God, we love you. And God, we thank you that as we looked at tonight, God, you are the ultimate example of humility. Just as we said last week, we say it again, God, the cross represents, God, the death, the ultimate death that you paid, God, so that we could be free, so that we could have access to your Heavenly Father, to our Heavenly Father. God, thank you for dying on that cross. But God, before you died on the cross, you died to fear. You died to friends. You died to your free will, Lord God. You died all those deaths so that you could die that final death on the cross. And God, we're reminded tonight, God, that we may have fears in our life, Lord God. We may have our own free will, friendships, Lord God, that we need to die tonight, Lord God. And it's not going to happen tonight. We may need to die to our flesh, Lord God. We may need other people in our life. That third question, who in our life? I pray that there would be somebody in all of our lives. Maybe it's somebody in the circle that we're praying with, a close friend, God, a close Christian friend and partner that's strong in their relationship with you, that we can be accountable to, so that we can die to those things of our flesh that hold us back. God, that we can die to the fears and the worries and the doubts that hold us back from living in that peace, God, that you desire us to live in. God, to say no to our desires right now, our own plans, our own ambitions. God, they're not wrong. They're not bad. But God, we should want you and your plans for us more than we want those things. And so, God, I pray that you would make those things perfectly clear to us. And God, as we pray for each other, God, I pray that we would all feel encouraged, God, not just tonight, but throughout the week, Lord God, as we pray for each other and we lift these things up to you, God. It's, God, there's a resurrection waiting for us, God, if we'll die these deaths. God, you want complete surrender. God, you're not going to force it on us. We can come in here again. I say it every week. We can listen to these teachings and we can get great teaching, God, but if we don't put these things into play, God, we're going to miss out on some of the things you have for us. And God, I don't want any of us to miss that. And so, God, help us with these areas. Help us to die to pride. Help us die to self, God, so that we can experience the full dream, the full destiny that you have for us, our full God-given potential. God, I just pray for those right now in the room, God, that are really struggling with some of these things. God, for the friendships, even family relationships, God. God, help us figure out how to do that, how to navigate through that. And set boundaries, Lord. Help us to get rid of the toxic relationships in our life that we've been enabling, God, that we've been allowing to keep us from what you've called us to, how to live and experience the full destiny you have for us. God, for those that are suffering right now with worry and anxiety, God, I pray that the voices, the lies of the enemy of worry and doubt and fear would be silenced tonight. And God, that the voice of peace, God, as we put that to death, that the voice of peace, the voice of God would ring louder than ever before. And God, that we would live in true peace and be still and as we trust you and follow you, God. God, help us. God, we need your help. God, just as Gina was sharing how you helped her with those things, God, we need your help. Help us to see it clearly, Lord God, so that we can put those things to death and live the life that you've called us to live. God, we love you. We thank you. And we thank you that you help us in this. And God, I can't wait to hear of how you make things clear for us, how you make a way clear for us to continue to live out that destiny, God, because we put these things to death. God, that we experience the resurrections, God, that you have for us in our lives. Lord, we love you. I pray that you would bless these guys. Bless them. Bless their marriages. Bless their families. Bless their workplace, Lord God. Just continue to do a work in all of us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, guys, we love you. We hope that you guys have an awesome week. And we will see you this weekend. All right?